Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll end the show today by wrapping up our series, West Farms 10460, about that neighborhood in the Bronx, with a conversation about one of the area's most notorious neighbors, the Cross Bronx Expressway. Before we get into that conversation, a little bit of news. In the City Council District 15 race that we've covered on the show, which includes part of West Farms, there's been an unofficial winner after 10 rounds of ranked choice voting. Oswald Feliz, a tenant lawyer and former state committeeman, is declaring victory. He will fill the vacant seat previously held by Richie Torres, who got elected to Congress, once the election is officially certified. But let's move on to the Cross Bronx. It's notorious enough if you're just driving on it. What if you have to live with it? Last week, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said that there was racism built into some of America's roads and expressways. The planners who built highways in so many American cities knew that their constructions would devastate the urban fabric of certain communities. If you live in certain places in Chicago, Boston, L.A., or of course here in New York City, you might know this personally. In the Bronx, you might feel it near the Cross Bronx Expressway. And the Cross Bronx isn't just loud and congested, it also spews pollution and carbon monoxide. My guests now are making the case for portions of the expressway to be capped in favor of green spaces as a way to rectify a legacy of environmental racism. Joining me now are Nilka Martell, founder and director of the community-based nonprofit organization Loving the Bronx, and Dr. Peter Munig, professor of the Department of Health Policy and Management at the Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health. Good morning to both of you, and welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Nilka, I wonder if you could start it off by reflecting briefly on what it's been like to live in rather close proximity to the Cross Bronx Expressway as a lifelong resident of the Bronx, either for you, your loved ones, or people you've met through your activism.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Brian, for having us on today and talking about this very important topic. As someone who was born and raised and still lives in the Bronx, I can definitely attest to the fact that the largest impact of these highways is our asthma rates. If you, visit the Bronx and you ask anyone whether they have asthma or they know of anyone that has asthma, 10 out of 10, they will tell you yes, largely due to the existing infrastructure and the open portions of highways and the overdevelopment around these highways. So when you live in these corridors, it's even difficult to have your windows open because you know that the emissions from the trucks, that's what you're breathing in. So for us living in the Bronx, this is an everyday occurrence. And you know, we see that, we feel the impact, through all the health issues that we suffer.
Dr. Munig, you've written about the potential health benefits and cost effectiveness of capping the Cross Bronx, building deck parks over sunken parts of the expressway. Tell us about this case study, your methods, results, and public health implications, and what capping parts of the Cross Bronx would look like and would mean for traffic.
Sure thing. So the health impacts are one of the drivers of costs. The open racist incision across the Bronx that was left by the Cross Bronx Expressway and really divided the communities is something that can be sutured. And caps will do two things. Well, they'll do a few things. One thing that they'll do is they will allow the pollution to be trapped underneath the cap, and then it can be filtered out. Another thing they'll do is, trap the noise inside. And
I'm going to jump in. So just to be clear and let people visualize what we're talking about, you're not talking about closing off the road. You're talking about building structures over the road so that the pollution from within the CBE would sort of be enclosed.
Yeah, that's right. There are huge, there are sections of the expressway that are below grade, meaning they run underground already. So that can just, very simply be capped right over the top. And then there are sections that are not, they're below grade, but they're not low enough, for a truck to pass under if you put a cap over it. And those sections would have to be built up if you wanted to cap them. And in our case study, we really only looked at the sections that were below grade. And the idea was to cap those sections just because it's, you know, a lot easier, and then to build a park space on top of them. And that would connect, you know, the South Bronx and the North Bronx via a nice green space, you know, that you could walk through or bicycle through.
And Nilka, you arrived at similar ideas I see in Parkchester, where an open below grade portion of the Cross Bronx runs on the southern edge of the neighborhood, and you've been advocating for a park there. How have those efforts come to pass? Who's listening?
Well, we successfully advocated for a reconstruction grant for Virginia Park, and that was where our vision started of examining the Cross Bronx. So Virginia Park is adjacent to an open below grade portion of highway. So for us, our idea was not as ambitious as Dr. Munich's idea. We were just concerned with that one portion that exists next to Virginia Park. But when we got hold of his report, you know, we realized that 2.4 miles have been identified that exist below grade. We started advocating for that. And most recently, Congressman Richie Torres penned an article for the Daily News, also supporting for the 2.4 miles to be capped, along with Assemblywoman Karina Reyes, who represents that Parkchester area. So, you know, at this particular time, we feel, you know, it's urgent, right? The Biden's administration and this infrastructure bill, it really provides us a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to correct these errors in the Bronx. And just like Dr. Munich mentioned, you know, this is restitching communities through creating a series of deck parks, you know, reducing the air and the noise pollution, you know, over time, reducing the asthma rates, you know, and even potentially creating a greenway, another greenway in the borough.
Listeners, we have time for a few phone calls. Any neighbors of the Cross Bronx Expressway happen to be listening and want to call in about living with that as a neighbor, 646-435-7280, or about this capping idea that my guest Nilka Martell and Peter Munig are discussing, 646-435-7280, or tweet a question at Brian Lehrer. Dr. Munig, let me ask you a retrospective question, a history question. What would an alternative have been to the Cross Bronx Expressway the way it exists if we assume that there was a real need to somehow continue I-95 from the George Washington Bridge through the Bronx to continue headed toward Boston, as well as connecting to the bridges to Queens? What would an alternative have been if you've given that thought?
Yeah, well, I mean, one alternative would have been to put it all below grade and cap it at the time, or to tunnel it. You know, if you really needed that that highway through that area, it was a big traffic jam, and you know, it was a problem as early as 1929. Actually, a report first sort of noted that it was a transportation nightmare. But Robert Moses's plan, you know, in today's dollars, it was well over $300 billion, and just by context, you know, that was the entire stimulus in the 1990s for the entire nation for you know, for infrastructure was $200 billion, if I recall correctly. So this is a very expensive project. It went through sewer lines and you know, bisected roads. So at the time, it would have been possible to, you know, to cap it cheaply, or to even potentially make it as a tunnel in the same way that subways were. Why they didn't cap it at the time? Well, they really didn't have that kind of awareness and vision of what highways, you know, would look like with big trucks running through them and noise and honking. And they didn't really have an understanding. You know, back then, they didn't even know smoking was bad for you. So the idea that all this black smoke belching out of cars was bad for you wasn't really in the public awareness.
Nilka, anything to add there?
You know, just building on what Dr. Munich said, you know, these decisions that Robert Moses made are still very much impacting our everyday lives in the Bronx. You know, so again, you know, the time is really now. I don't think in our lifetime we will see any type of infrastructure bill of this magnitude to be able to have the funding available to cap the Cross Bronx.
Mohammed in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Mohammed, thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks, Brian. The Cross Bronx Expressway is definitely a main artery to New York and New Jersey and Connecticut, and is doing these states a tremendous service, but is doing a great disservice for the community that lives around it. In the 70s and 80s, it helped breaking up the North and South Bronx, and we ended up with a lot of burnt buildings and stuff. But right now, if the idea of capping the Cross Bronx would definitely benefit the people that live around here. I have four children. All of them have asthma because of the pollution that is in here. I have a brother and a sister who are older than me who didn't suffer asthma until they moved here, and they ended up with having all kind of pulmonary problems. My neighbors, everybody's really suffering. So to cap it up, put beautiful trees and things would really be very helpful to us, and we would look for a day like this to make us much happier than we are right now.
Mohammed, thank you for your call, and good luck to all your kids and all your family. And Dr. Munig, my head is exploding listening to Mohammed's story. And for you as a public health professor, is there not a policy metric by which if an area has too much asthma, let's say, and it can be proven, I don't know if it's been proven, you tell me, if it can be proven that it's coming from infrastructure that humans created, maybe an expressway, that it be closed or changed?
Yeah. I mean, it is easily provable. In this particular case, we know that that the pollutants, not just PM2.5, but you know, NO2, all the stuff that's coming out around there from tailpipes, is a clear cause and trigger of asthma. Not just that, though, it also is a severe risk factor. It doubles your risk of heart disease. And you know, this is constant. This is not just smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. This is constantly coming out of there. It causes cancer. So, you know, it's really easy to see the gradient in disease as you go back from the Cross Bronx Expressway. And that's not just, you know, a pure human toll. It also takes a huge toll on the health system in the city, you know, which has spillover effects to other people. It makes health insurance more expensive for everybody, and it makes the city have a hard time paying for Medicaid.
Let me see if I can sneak in one more call. And if Francesca in Queens is ready, maybe we have a lesson from Boston regarding a similar attempt. Francesca, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in. And sorry to say, we have about 30 seconds for you.
Hi. Love you, Brian. We had a horrible experience with the Big Dig in Boston, but the result is amazing. And the Southeast Expressway trashed the city and separated neighborhoods and did, you know, the same atrocities as was done here in New York. The Rose Kennedy Greenway is beautiful now. It's just magic, and it's a nice walking thoroughfare, and you can walk from one side of what was the expressway to the other, and you can get to different neighborhoods, and it's like a beautiful, magical city thing now. You just have to watch out for the gentrifiers once it turns into a beautiful thing. Yeah.
So another solution creates another problem. Well, Nilka, because this is your home borough, you get the last word today, and in fact, in this whole series, what would an equitable future look like with respect to the Cross Bronx?
Well, I think oftentimes people ask, why invest in a low-income community? And because of that, these communities never grow, because no one is addressing these needs. And yes, we do have concerns with gentrification. However, you know, we want these decisions not to be made top-down, but to really have the community invested in it and at the table you know, helping fashion what it is that they want to see, and hoping that this investment does not result in displacement. If we were the folks that chose to live here during the time of you know, such a disaster, we should be rewarded in having to be able to still live here while this investment is done.
And we will have to leave it there. Nilka Martell, founder and director of a community-based nonprofit organization, Loving the Bronx, and Dr. Peter Munich, professor in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
And listeners, we hope you've enjoyed and learned things from and appreciated our series, which ends here, West Farms 10460.